Welcome to Off the Cuff. I am Dean Vitale, entrepreneur, and joining me is our host, Pastor John Bell. Let me explain what we're doing here. We're going to do just once in a while, we're going to hop on here and we're going to take a subject and we're just going to talk about it. I'm going to ask some regular guy questions. And John is actually a lifelong pastor, and he's going to actually show us and tell us and direct us on some of these subjects that I have questions about and you might have questions about as well. So, John, welcome. We ready to start?
Yep. I think we're ready to go.
So. All right. So John, I have a question. You know, we're going into Lent, and, you know, I grew up a Catholic. And as a Catholic, you know, we were always told, even at a young age, that we should give something up. So the question today, John, is, does God want us to give something up in this period called Lent? And can you give us a little background on it?
Sure. What's interesting, we're recording today because today is Fat Tuesday. And it's called Mardi Gras in New Orleans. It's celebrated with all kinds of good things are eaten today. People eat as much as they possibly can. It was a time traditionally when people emptied their cabinets and cooked everything in it. The Polish people today, they're going to, actually last week, they began with punchki, which is like a jelly roll. And so they would empty their cabinets, they'd get rid of all the food because tomorrow is Ash Wednesday, and that begins 40 days of fasting. And they do that so that the ideal would be that they would do it so that that would free up more time and more desire for God. The history of Lent is it wasn't celebrated by the apostles, by the disciples, not by the early church. It doesn't show up till the fourth century. And the reason it came into the church, it's one of those, it actually has pagan origins. There were 40 days in the spring, and the word Lent comes from the English word Lenten, which is lengthen, and it's the lengthening of days, which is what happens in spring. But the pagans were coming into the church because the church in Rome established in their empire that Christianity was the official government religion. So many thousands of pagans came into the church and they brought with them pagan practices. Now, today, it doesn't mean that those practices are bad, but in the beginning, the definitions and the meaning of them were pagan. For instance, the 40 days of fasting originally was a pagan practice in which the people were praying for the resurrection of the son of Ashtar, and his name was Tammuz, and they would pray and fast that he would come back to life. It was kind of like an imitation of the resurrection.
John, can I stop you? What is a pagan?
Okay, a pagan in those days was, you know, they're basically at that time there was Christianity and there was Judaism and there were some other religions, but the pagan practices were the ones in the rest of the world where it was very dark, and they created these myths and these legends, and everybody has to worship. So they created their own gods, and they worshiped their own gods.
Got it.
Okay? So the origins of Lent are actually pagan, but obviously, like everything else, you know, I always tell people it's like the Christmas tree. The Christmas tree, the origin of the Christmas tree was pagan, but it doesn't have that meaning today, and I don't believe Lent has that meaning today because nobody knows about it. Now, as I said earlier, the idea of Lent is a good one in the sense that you are giving up something for God. But the important thing to remember is not what you're detached from, but what you're attached to. So during these 40 days, the focus is not, I'm giving up chocolate, or I'm giving up television, or I'm giving up alcohol, or whatever it is that a person is denying themselves of. What the important thing is, I'm attaching myself to God. So what these 40 days should produce is a closer walk with God. Now, the danger of anything that we do externally, so things that we do on the outside, you know, we have all these various external religious practices. They're not bad, but if they fail to change the heart, they really can't change the heart on their own. So there has to be internally, while this is going on, while I'm giving up food, I need to be focusing on God. And the most important part of it is that I'm focusing on God. So that's the idea. And it's 40 days. It's, you know, the way that it's been Christianized, so to speak, is it resembles the 40 days of fasting that Jesus did before he met Satan in the wilderness, because he knew he needed the spiritual strength. It was preparatory for him for the challenge of meeting Satan in the wilderness. It actually says in the text that he wasn't hungry those 40 days, if you can imagine. It says after the 40 days, he began to be hungry. And why is that? Because he was so focused on his relationship with the Father and his fellowship with the Father, which allowed him to prepare for the challenge of the temptation of meeting Satan.
All right, so what I hear from you is the idea is pagan. It started out as a pagan ritual or something that pagans did. The idea, drawing yourself to God, is a great idea. How about denying yourself? Is it just something that I know, you know, Christians, followers of Christ, they do fast, and they fast with the idea, correct me if I'm wrong, every time I feel hunger, it's a reminder that I need to go to God. Is that behind Christianity as far as followers of Christ when they fast? That hunger, we're lifting it up, and every time we feel that hunger pain, it's a reminder, go to God, pray, meditate.
Oh, well, here's an interesting thing. This is, I don't know if this has ever happened to you. I'm sure it has, but it's happened to me for sure. I can be doing an activity. I can be doing something, and I can be so focused on it and so intentional about it. I remember my wife saying to me, it'd be like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I hadn't eaten since breakfast. And she would say something like, have you eaten lunch yet? And I would say, no. And she would say, why not? And I said, I forgot. I forgot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the thing is, what that means is what I was focused on was more important than the food. It wasn't that I got hungry and I told myself, oh, I need to keep fasting. It was more of, this is why I said, it's not what you give up. It's not what you detach from. It's what you focus on. It's what you attach to. So think about like this, that whole 40-day period, which is hard for us to understand, but don't forget, he was the God-man. That whole 40 days, he was so focused on his communion and relationship with the Father that he literally never thought about food.
Wow. That's great.
That's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, that is really amazing.
Yeah, but the idea, that's also, he was going to face the greatest. He was facing the same challenge that Adam and Eve faced in the Garden of Eden. So he needed all of that spiritual strength. Yeah. So it's kind of like, I look at it like it's spiritual exercise so that I can be strengthened. Not from just the exercise, but from what I'm focused on. And I'm focused on God. And if I'm really doing it, I'm kind of not. I mean, we're human, so we're gonna get hungry. But if you're just like giving up one thing, it's like, no, this I'm transferring whatever time and resources I would put into food, I'm transferring that over to my communion with God.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you, this is really personal. This, I mean, I remember, you know, growing up, people would almost flaunt the idea of, look what I'm doing. And that's not the intent. Am I right?
That's actually wrong. That's actually wrong. You know, it's
like, the idea
I have with tomorrow is, so tomorrow's Ash Wednesday. So people, when I was a kid growing up, most of my friends were Catholic, right? So whenever Ash Wednesday would come, I'm a Baptist kid, they'd all show up at school with this black X or black cross on their forehead, you know, and I remember thinking, you know, I don't, it's okay to have that ash there, but you probably should have washed it off, because one of the things it says is don't parade any of your practices, your spiritual practice, don't parade those in front of people as if to say, look at me, look what I did. Because that in and of itself takes the focus off God and onto you. I would say, you know, I have fasted over the years, but I actually make it a point of, I don't tell anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Know, because I don't want to even enter into the idea of getting myself involved in getting some kind of glory.
So, got it.
Yeah, that's
what so.
This is one of those things that should be private. If somebody does it, God bless you for doing it. May the next 40 days that lead up to the celebration of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, may you be drawn into a deeper communion with Christ as a result by saying to Christ, The reason I'm doing this is because I want more of you. I want more of you than I do of food.
Got it. So, and in closing here, John, if someone's hearing this for the first time and the coin drops and they say, you know, I never heard it that way, and I want to draw closer to Christ during this time, how can you direct them? Can you give us just a couple of tips to someone that has gotten this new revelation that it's not about me giving up chocolate. It's not about me giving up XYZ, my favorite things. It's about drawing closer to God. Mm-hmm. Can you give us some tips on how we can do that?
Sure. There's a wonderful passage in Philippians 3 where the Apostle Paul is recounting all of his achievements in life and all that he's gone through and all of his successes and how he was advancing in his religion more than anyone else. He essentially was headed for the Supreme Court of Israel. And here's what he says. He says, as he finishes up, you know, kind of like this inventory of his life, he says, I look back on it now and I consider it all rubbish. And then he says, why? He says, that I might know him, Christ, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Here's what should drive Lent or fasting or any of those kinds of things. You know what? I want to know more of Christ. So very simply, I would just say, if the coin is dropped, if you've said, you know what? That's what I want. Well, here's what you need to know. The Holy Spirit is telling you that. The Holy Spirit is revealing that to you. And you can simply say this very simple prayer. Lord, I'm going to give up this, which I really like. My wife has to have a piece of chocolate every day. So for her to give up chocolate would be a big deal. But that time of day when she would eat that chocolate, yeah, she's going to say, you know, I'm going to spend that time in prayer and worship, you know, and just knowing more about Christ. And so you just say, Lord, I'm giving this up, but it's not what I'm giving up. It's really what I want to be filled with you. I want to be filled with your Spirit. I want to know what it means to walk in communion with you. And that's what I'm going to do during this time. And you know, our walk with God is a process. It deepens. The more we want of God, the more he'll give of himself to us.
Great. All right. Well, John, I appreciate it. You know, I learned something again today. Thanks for spending some time with us. And we're going to be doing this every once in a while, and you're going to be able to follow it on our website and our Facebook pages. And we hope to answer some questions together. So on behalf of Pastor John Bell, I'm Dean Vitale, saying thanks for listening, and we hope to talk to you soon.